that container. Imagine what it's like when you can't create a video like the one that I just created. When you've been here for a while, I think it's hard to imagine what that's like. It's hard to imagine life without Unitarian Universalism when you've had it, even when you've had it for a short time. And sometimes I think it's easy to take it for granted. You've probably heard Reverend Virginia and I saying this past year that times they are a-changing. I think David Bowie said it once too. And yes, they're changing. A rapid shift in American culture and technology, fewer children being born, and the impact of the generational shifts are just a few ways. And participation in faith communities, they used to be an expectation. It was a part of family life. It was what you did. And that's becoming less so. Religious communities of all traditions are in decline. But it's not doom and gloom. There is hope, especially for Unitarian Universalists, because people are out there and they are looking for us. They're looking for us more than they ever have been, and we have never done well at telling people who we are. We've never been great at inviting people in. And we need to do better. It's okay to tell people who we are. It's okay to invite people in. It's okay to tell people that we have something so special here that you want to come and check it out. Reverend Susan Frederick Gray, president of the Unitarian Universalist Association, came to the annual meeting of religious educators a while back. And she said something, and it had a profound effect on me. She said, "This is no time for a casual faith." And her words hit me like a ton of bricks. Every time I hear it, the same feeling. And it was one of those moments where you remember where you sat and you remember who was around you. I still remember that red Hillary-like pantsuit skirt. It was one of those moments. And then she continued talking and she said, "We are living in times of heartbreak and pain. And in this time, we need communities that remind us of our humanity. This is no time for a casual faith. I cannot imagine not having a community to remind me of my own humanity. More than ever, Unitarian Universalism requires dedication. And it requires commitment. Do we have it? Have we ever?" When I made this video, it quickly became more than a project. It became more than dropping photos into a program. This video is a visual representation of the dynamic spirit and dedication of this congregation. Now, although it only captures a year, it reminded me of all of the amazing things that we can do, especially when we do them together. And when I think about the challenges ahead for UUCMC and for Unitarian Universalism, because there are always challenges ahead, I know that we need to adapt. We need to adapt into our changing world if we're going to remain relevant, if we're going to create positive change. And then I cannot help but think, Of course we can do it. Of course. We just have to remember that, like all those other times in the history of this congregation, that change is a constant process that keeps circling back around. And it's hard, but it's necessary. But we rise to the occasion. It requires us to live in the now and in the future. It means everyone does their part. And your part, it will change over time as your life changes. But what you have to remember is we do indeed need everyone. And as we close this year, I have already begun to look to the next. And so has the Family Ministry Committee. And we are excited about what is to come. Embrace it with us. We have committed ourselves to a bold new vision next year, a year of experimentation, a positive attitude. We are ready to try new things, and we are ready to stay determined, because all we need is dynamic dedication. May it be so.
You guys rock. So I want to start with one of my very favorite stories. It's called Two Frogs. Once two frogs were hopping through the forest when they accidentally hopped into a big churn of cream. The sides of the churn were so slick and slippery that there was no place to hold on to. So the frogs had to swim in circles. They had to swim in circles just to stay afloat. And after a really long time, one frog said, "Oh my gosh, there is no hope. We are doomed to drown in this churn." The older and slightly wiser frog said, "Don't lose hope. Life is a circle. There are bad times and there are good times. One must endure the winter to see the spring." The young frog was not so sure, and he said, "You're wrong. We're going to die. I tell you, we're going to die right here and right now." And the wiser, patient older frog said, "We must keep hope alive, for if hope dies, we too will die. But if we can keep hope alive, we will live to see another sunrise." Now, the younger frog was already starting to lose hope, and he began to sink down into the creamy liquid. "Keep hope alive! Keep hope alive!" cried the older one. And the younger one, started to repeat it slowly at first. "Keep hope alive! Keep hope alive!" And the more they repeated the words, the stronger they felt. And the more strength they had, the better they could swim in circles. And as they swam and swam around and around in circles, an amazing thing happened. They realized they weren't sinking anymore. The cream had turned to butter. The two frogs were able to hop off of the butter and out of the churn. They landed on the ground just in time to see a beautiful sunrise. The older frog said to the younger one, Remember, my son, life is a circle. Despair may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And the two frogs hopped away into the woods. True story. There is something about those frogs swimming in circles that speaks to me of our dedication to this faith and this community today. I have the distinct feeling that many of us have been here before. We've circled the year and found ourselves once again at a communion Sunday. Every year we complete this lovely ritual, it gets richer in meaning. Every year is different and yet somewhat familiar. The pattern of cycles and circles in our life together is both comforting and challenging. Being dedicated to it, sticking with it even when it's hard to do, has some distinct benefits. Joy does come in the morning. In our circles and cycles of creating community week after week and year after year, we start to generate some real trust in one another, some real knowledge of each other's lives and stories and capacity. And within that knowledge lies a power at the heart of this faith community. When we get right down to it, we know who has our backs. We know we have a place to bring our joys and our sorrows. We know who to call when hope is hard to find. It's not that we agree about everything or that we are anywhere near perfect. Our dedication to a few lofty yet shared principles that we believe are worthy of dedicating our lives to, that dedication shows up in a variety of ways. Some subtle, some loud, some beautiful. So who is dedicated here? Consider the parent who struggles to get the kids out the door on a Sunday morning, yet something calls them to do it. Maybe they have made a commitment to teach or usher or help in the kitchen. Maybe they know someone will miss them if they don't show up. Consider the person who said yes to a still-forming, always-struggling committee or ministry. Their success is always a work in progress, yet they are dedicated to trying to make it work because they see it as part of the mission. Consider the people who hear the ask to increase their pledge, and it's hard, but they figure out how to do it. Consider those who struggle to make any pledge at all. Some do it, some can't, but they do it with their heart. Consider those who show up and offer their help in small ways week after week. Consider those who never consider saying no, and those who have to say no in order to survive. Consider the leader who finds a way to show their appreciation to those who have said yes, who helps others and does not expect anything in return. Consider those who stand a little back and quietly judge the cost to benefit of their service here. Consider those who have committed themselves so deeply that they are tattooed with chalices. You know who you are. Consider those struggling with mental or physical health who arrive desperate for healing and hope. Consider those who cannot be here at all. Will they find a UUCMC presence online, or will someone visit them and bring it to them, whether at home or in the hospital, wherever they are? Consider those who take the time to make that visit. Consider those who aim for kindness when they enter these doors and when they leave them, no matter how troubled they feel. Consider the child who grows in confidence and the youth who lives and speaks their values with newfound courage. The texture and colors of a community are made of all of these and more. Together we are swimming in circles through the seasons of a year and the seasons of lifetimes. Whatever age or stage you find yourself in, may hope grow in you and through you. May we find that our dedication makes this world more tolerable, more generous and kind for all. May love grow like butter in the spaces between us and the world. May it be so. Amen.
And now please remain seated as we sing Spirit of Life. It's number 123 in your songbooks.
The Unitarian Flower Communion, which we are about to celebrate, was created in 1923 by Dr. Norbert Chapek, founder of the modern Unitarian movement in Czechoslovakia. The congregation he started grew to over 6,000 members. On the last Sunday before the summer of the Unitarian Church in Prague, all of the children and adults participated in this colorful ritual, which gives concrete expression to the humanity-affirming principles of our liberal faith. When the Nazis took control of Prague in 1940, they found the influence of Dr. Chapek's gospel of the inherent worth and beauty of every human to be, as Nazi court records show, too dangerous to the Reich for him to be allowed to live. Dr. Chapek was sent to Dachau, where he was killed the next year in a Nazi medical experiment. This gentleman suffered a cruel death, but his message of human hope and decency lives on today. It is a noble and meaning-filled ritual we are about to create.
This prayer is by Dr. Norbert Chapek. It's called the Consecration of the Flowers. Infinite Spirit of Life, we ask thy blessing on these thy messengers of fellowship and love. May they remind us amid diversities of knowledge and gifts to be one in desire and affection and devotion to thy holy will. May they also remind us of the value of comradeship, of doing and sharing alike. May we cherish friendship as one of thy most precious gifts. May we not let awareness of another's talents discourage us or sully our relationship. May we realize that whatever we can do, great or small, the efforts of us all are needed to do this work in the world. May it be so. Amen. And so I now invite you to come forward and take a flower different than the ones you brought. In that flower is a message from one of your friends here. It is unique, the scent, the breath, the appreciation of its beauty and color, and its fragility. For another year, we get to be in community together. Dr. Chopik was so dangerous because he gathered a congregation of 6,000 people who understood the beauty and inherent worth of human beings. And we stand in that tradition today. We are here because of his suffering and the suffering of so many. It is a privilege to be dedicated to this faith.
If you're not using your hymnal, I'll